Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Road to Revolution podcast, My Journey with Linkin Park. Sorry for the delay on this week's episode. I know I've been typically dropping them on Mondays. Things just kind of got away from me for a little bit, but next week we'll be back on our normal Monday schedule, which feels silly to note for such a small podcast because I'm sure the 70 or so people that listen, which is amazing. The fact that there are 70 people that listen to this show makes me very, very happy. But it seems silly to you know, get hung up on, you know, releasing on a certain day for such a small audience. But, you know, it gives me a sense of urgency and schedule. It makes me have to do it. But the things just got away from me. Things have been a bit crazy lately. All good things, though, which is a good reason to have. This week, so we're putting this on out today. It's Wednesday. I'm recording this now. Put it up in a couple hours. So let's dive right into it. This week's episode is going to be another twofer because it's kind of a weird thing. The first show we're going to talk about wasn't exactly a show, but I did watch the band perform, so it was a show. So that first one on the show, one of two shows on this week's episode. This one was in West Palm Beach, Florida on August 6th, 2014. And this one was at the Sky Vodka Amphitheater at Steinbrenner Field. And I guess technically you could call this part of the Carnivores Tour. This was the Carnivores Tour production rehearsal. And if you don't know what that means, is basically when you're a band as big as Linkin Park and you have such an elaborate stage show where there's video screens with projections and lighting cues that are very complicated, you want to make sure everything is good to go, and you don't have access to a venue this large in your rehearsal space. Typically, the rehearsal space is a lot smaller out in LA, so you can get your performance element down there, but to get a feel for how the show is going to play in a bigger venue with lighting, screens, video production, all that stuff, it helps to have access to a venue the size of where you're going to be playing, so you can kind of flesh that all out before you actually play the first show. So this one came at the same venue they would play the first show on this tour, which was, I think this was on the 6th of August. The first show is 2 days later. So presumably they set this up on the 6th and then they just let it sit until 2 days later when the tour started. Now, this one was kind of cool because, you couldn't buy tickets to this. You couldn't just show up and get in. They did, I think, Radio Winners and Linkin Park Underground Winners. And it wasn't a very big group. I want to say it was less than 20 from the LPU and then a couple of Radio Winners, which was really cool because it was a nice, chill atmosphere. When everyone got there and we checked in, I can't remember the order of things. Either we went and did the meet and greet first and then we had pizza, or vice versa. I want to say it was check in, hang out a little bit, then pizza, then meet and greet. And then it was time for the rehearsal performance kind of deal. But it was cool because there were some of the guys from LP Live who I've mentioned many, many times on the show. So I got to run into some of them. And this was also one of the first times, at least in a long time, that something happened where someone recognized me because of the playing faint thing. But I'll talk about that because that came after the performance. So free pizza is always a plus. You really can't complain about pizza. Actually, that's a lie. I'm a born and raised New Yorker, so I complain about pizza a lot, especially living in Florida now. But free pizza is still good as long as it is good to decent pizza. Anything lower than that, I will complain. But hey, they give us free pizza. And then afterwards, we got assembled in a little area next to the stage. And the way they did this meet and greet was interesting. So they lined us all up against the wall. And the room was a square or so. So they had us lined and it pretty much came to like a U of sorts along the wall. And the band would come in and they made their way down the line, and you know, they'd talk to you, and of course they're like, you know, don't touch the band, no hugs, no handshakes, no, you know, no photos with the band, we're gonna take a big group photo, you know, just, you know, keep the whole thing moving. And the bands never listen to that. The bands are there to interact and meet the fans and talk to you and hear your stories, and for a lot of these people it was their first and probably only time meeting the band, so they are overjoyed at the whole moment, and they want to tell them, you know, how the band saved their life, or how, you know, they became the person they are because of the band. And it's always cool to hear those people's stories, because it makes you realize there are people who cherish and value this band just as much as you do. So they make their way down, and it's great to see everybody again. You know, Phoenix remembers me, as he always does, as does Chester. As I've said in the past, the other guys are always hit and miss. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. You figure with so many people, it's, you know, you kind of go into autopilot at points. But like clockwork, at every show that if I got to meet him at, Chester came over and, you know, gave me a hug and happy to see me. And we talked for a few minutes. And it hadn't been long since I'd seen them. This was, you know, just a couple of weeks after the Comic-Con show. So I'd said, you know, I'd seen you guys out in San Diego. He's like, you know, I thought I saw you out there, but I wasn't sure because it was out west. You know, it was just kind of cool. It's kind of like you know, you see them enough on one side of the country that if you see them somewhere else, they get thrown for a loop because you're seeing them in a place that they've never seen you before. And I don't know if bands remember that stuff a lot, but I guess, you know, seeing them for 29 previous shows, mostly in, you know, the Northeast, when you get to see them somewhere else, I guess they're like, hey, what are you doing over here? You're out of your element. So it was cool that he noticed in any way, which was awesome. And then after that, the person next to me, I think, had a story about how, you know, Chester's music saved their life. I don't know if it was the lyrics or they have similar stories to them or whatever it was. It was really just nice to hear because Chester took all that to heart. He, you know, he was so happy that his music could help people. And you can tell, you know, I looked at him as this person was telling him their story, and you can tell he was just honored and flattered and just happy that this person was still around and that he had any part to do with that was, you know, was amazing to him. So it's nice hearing those people's stories and nice that they're still here to tell those stories too. So after the meet and greet was done, they get us all together, big group picture, which is cool. But at the same time, you know, you look at it, you're like, yeah, there's a picture of me with Linkin Park, but there are 20 plus other people in this picture that I don't know, but it's still a cool picture to have. And that was one thing I never, ever got to do, was a picture of just me and the band, at least with Linkin Park. I have a picture of me and Mike together from Fort Minor shows and then from his solo shows back in 2018. And then, as I've mentioned, I have one that's like a old, dark, underdeveloped photo from 2001 of me and Mike. And then any of the pictures I have of me and Chester are this big group picture from this meet and greet, a picture of me and like for me, Sal, and our buddy Mike, and like two or three other fans with the band. So that's the closest I have to a full band, a picture of just me and them, which is great because it's still a very small group. And then I have a picture with Chester when he was with Stone Temple Pilots. I got to meet the whole band together and we got to take a picture together. So, you know, it's a nitpicky thing to complain about, but actually, you know, I'd love to have a picture with me and just the band, but, you know, it is what it is. Can't complain. You know, it's like, oh, I have only blue Legos, but I really wish I had red Legos. It's like, you have Legos though. You can still do stuff. I don't know where I pulled that Lego analogy out of. I like Legos. I don't know. So we do the big group picture. And then they say, all right, guys, hang out here for a little bit. Band's going to go get ready to rehearse. Once they're ready, we'll bring you into the venue area. And it was huge because it was like a big amphitheater. If you've been to pretty much every major market, or most major markets in the country, have an amphitheater like this. So in New York, it's Jones Beach or the PNC Bank Art Center. In, you know, in Florida, it's in West Palm over here, it's the Sky Vodka Amphitheater or the Cruisin' Amphitheater, whatever it is. The branding on that place changes all the time. Or the Mid-Florida Credit Union Amphitheater in Tampa. You know, they're all very, very similar and they're set up very similarly where they have the lawn behind the seats, and usually there's a general admission pit area. Sometimes it's all just seats. Depends on the venue, but typically they're the same with very minor differences. So once we get the signal that they're ready, we go in, and it's kind of cool because, like, you know, no one's rushing for the front. If there's like barely 30 of us in this area. So I'm just kind of spread out, hanging out, watching, taking pictures. They said we could take all the pictures we want. And to be that close, but not like feel squished or hot or you know, on top of, it was really nice to have that experience. And we got to watch the first 13 songs of their set. And their set pretty much ended up being anywhere between 27 to 28 songs, depending on the night and the venue and things like that. So we got a bunch, and this was, and you know, this was the first time they'd played this set for this tour. You know, and I'd see them in San Diego a few weeks earlier. They played a very small set, and it was, you know, pretty 8 songs. So to go from 8 to 28 or 27 on this tour is a huge jump. But we got to stay for the first 13. So they did like this mashup for the intro, which was like Session, the One Step Closer Reanimation mix, the Requiem, the Summoning, the Catalyst, Guilty All the Same, which ran into the actual full Guilty All the Same as their first full song that they opened with. They did Given Up, Points of Authority, One Step Closer, Blackout, Paper Cut, Rebellion, which was the first time they'd played it in front of any group of people. Then they did Runaway, which was like a shortened version, Wastelands, and then Castle of Glass. And then they did their ballad medley, you know, Leave Out All the Rest, Shadow of the Day, and Iridescent. And they did Robot Boy, which was the last one we were allowed to be in the venue for, which they basically said they want to keep the rest of the set list a surprise for us if we were going to go to the shows, whether they're in West Palm or Tampa in the next couple of days, and just to keep the set a secret for the rest of the tour because, you know, give some element of a surprise when you go to these shows. But as I'm making my way out of the venue, these two guys I've never met before, I don't know who they are, they walk up to me and they're like, "Hey, are you Billy?" And I said, "Yeah." And they said, "Oh my God, dude, we've seen your video. You know, we love it. That's super awesome. I just want to say, hey, you know, we thought it was you. We weren't sure though," which is fair. I look a lot different now. Well, I look different now in 2020 than I did 2014, but I also look different in 2014 versus 2004. So, it's a, you know, it was nice for someone to go, "I think that's that guy," and be right. So I never tire of that. It's a nice little thing. You know, I'm not a celebrity by any means. I'm not famous. I'm a regular guy, but you know, to have someone recognize me for a thing I did 16 years ago once that was 4 minutes long, it's pretty cool. So, you know, enjoyable, nice little bonus moment there. So we, all of us leave the venue and we get out to the parking lot and we realize we can still hear the venue loud and clear because it's an amphitheater. So the sound just echoes out and we're not far from the venue either. We're just in the parking lot. We're directly outside. So we can hear all of it and we can see little bits of it. There were screens in there. And then we can just see like the lighting stuff. So like, we couldn't see the stage, but we can see a little bit of the screens and we can hear the entire thing. So a group of us just kind of hung out, sitting on our cars, and we listened to the rest of the show, which they did 15 more songs, which was awesome. Just such a cool experience. I mean, you're with a group of like-minded people who love the band and they love going to these shows. So it was nice to just kind of sit out there and it was just a simple, kind of nice moment for the next hour or so, just hanging out in a parking lot, listening to our favorite band. So it was just really nice. I don't know. You know, it was not a experience you could really ever get. Like it was a very special circumstance. You know, they did these production tour rehearsals rarely for these. They did a couple here and there, but typically they were in arenas because they usually did them for their winter tours, which are usually in inside indoor venues and arenas and stuff like that. So I think they only did like 1, 2, maybe 3 of these outdoor venue ones, rehearsals. So it was very, very rare circumstances for these to happen. But that was, you know, all in all, it was a very cool experience. The only downside was I went by myself, and it was in West Palm and I had to work the next day. So I drove back to Orlando that night. And I was exhausted. Those drives, man, when you do them with other people, they're one thing because you have somebody to talk to. You can, you know, you start BSing and suddenly 2.5 hours go by and you're like, "Oh man, we're home. Cool." When you do it by yourself, you know, you know, I don't care if you like listening to music when you drive or podcasts or anything. it's really tough. you know, especially when it's late and you've been out all day and you drove to get there in the first place. So you're looking at like 5-6 hours round trip that day. And it's a lot of driving. It's a lot to do, but it was great. Totally worth it. So the next show was actually an actual show on the Carnivores tour that this rehearsal was for. So the next one was in Tampa on the 9th, which was just a couple of days later. They, like I said, they did the West Palm actual show on the 8th, which was the night before. I ended up not doing that, just did the rehearsal on the 6th, and now the actual show in Tampa on the 9th, which was cool because typically when bands come to play Tampa during the summer, they will play in the amphitheater that I mentioned earlier, the Mid-Florida Credit Union Amphitheater. I don't know why. Maybe it was because there was already a booking there, but for whatever reason, they ended up booking this show at the George M. Steinbrenner Field in Tampa. You may recognize that name if you're a baseball fan. That is where the New York Yankees play their spring training games. And as a lifelong New Yorker, well, not lifelong anymore, but as a most of my life born and raised New Yorker and a lifelong New York Yankees fan, this was amazing. You know, the only thing better than this would be seeing them in actual Yankee Stadium up in New York. So I was like, man, I get to go to where the Yankees play and get on the field a little bit, because to get to where the concert is, like, we were in the floor, the GA area, that was in the outfield. So we had to walk on the field, which was cool to walk out there. And I don't know, just, you know, see your favorite band in the venue where your favorite team plays is a nice little bonus treat. And I guess that happens a ton with basketball and football and hockey teams. But baseball, I feel like it's a little more rare. Concerts in baseball stadiums are not as common as they are in other stadiums. But yeah, this was a nice little bonus. But this one I went to with my buddy Casey, his first appearance on this show. He'd been to other Linkin Park shows. He lived out in California most of his life, so he'd been to shows out there. This is the first one we went to together. We did the LPU early entry on this one. So I don't know, man, as I got older, the less I wanted to wait in lines all day. So once LPU was like, hey, if you're an LPU member, you can cut the line. You just have to be a member in good standing and, you know, show your pass. They send you like a credential every year that has the LPU like logo and your year and stuff on it. So you just bring that. And so, I mean, I was already a member and Casey signed up and we were able to get in before the regular line and we got on the rail right up front, which is really cool. Nice, good spot. The way they did this, there was like a catwalk or a runway down the middle of the crowd that went maybe 15 or 20 feet into the crowd. So we were right at the edge of where that would turn into the front row. So we had a good view of that and then a good view of the main stage as well. So it was like one of the perfect spots for that. And I haven't mentioned it yet. This was, this tour also featured 30 Seconds to Mars as kind of co-headlining, direct support. I don't know if they were exactly co-headlining. I think they played a shorter set than Linkin Park, but they're definitely one of the bigger bands to tour with Linkin Park at the time. And then AFI opened, which was awesome. I never get tired of seeing these guys. And I was thinking about this last night, actually. AFI is a band that I think are great. And, you know, their albums are awesome. They're a great live show. But I've never gone out of my way to see them. They've always been a part of other shows. Like, I saw them here with Linkin Park. I saw them open for Green Day back in 2010. And I saw them with... Oh, oddly enough, I saw them with Paramore and Chester's side project, Dead by Sunrise, back in 2009. So that's three times I'd seen them, and they were I never said, "Oh, I'm going to buy AFI tickets." You know, they were part of another show, like the one in. You know, I was like, "Oh, I'm going to go see Paramore and Dead by Sunrise. That's awesome." And then AFI was part of that, and then, you know, every other one they were opening or support for that show. So, but always a great band to see live. If you get a chance, I definitely recommend seeing them. I think they're still around. I don't think they've stopped touring. Well, I mean, everybody has stopped touring right now, but I don't think they've stopped being a band yet. I hope not. They're great. Let's see. Set list was pretty similar to what they played at the rehearsal show. No live debuts at this show. The only one would have been Rebellion, but that technically made its live debut in West Palm. So The set list, I'm not going to dive into it because, like I said, it's very similar to the one we talked about in West Palm a few days earlier. But one thing I do want to talk about with this specific show was, being in that front row spot, got a lot of great pictures at that show, man. Especially because, like, you have great shots of the stage, but then because that catwalk that jutted out into the crowd, if you turned, like, turned your camera and took a picture of when, if they were on the catwalk, you get a great shot of them, whoever it was. The ones I have specifically like this are of Jared Leto from 30 Seconds to Mars, of the singer or whoever's on that catwalk with the giant crowd behind them in the stadium. And it just looks awesome. Makes it look like these really epic crowd shots. So, like I said, this was a really nice vantage point to watch this show from. One specific moment I wanted to talk about from this show was, you know, as I've mentioned in the past, you know, Chester and Mike would come down into the crowd during some songs. You know, as I mentioned, we, Crawling at Madison Square Garden, you know, Chester came down and we sang Crawling with him a little bit. And then Paper Cut in 2007 in Jersey, you know, he came down and he would bounce between Sal and I for different parts of the song. So I said they liked coming down to the crowd and interacting with them during certain songs. And during this one, in the back half of Waiting for the End, Chester came down and he was doing his thing and singing in, you know, with the crowd. He was standing at the very edge of the crowd and on the catwalk and things like that. And I almost forgot that this had happened. But a few years ago, Mark from LP Live had shared a video from this show, and he had noted, he's like, Billy, that was you there that he pointed at. And I was like, oh my God, it was. And I went back and I found the video, and you can't see me in the video, but you can see I'm where this was. Like, I'm in the video before it happens. Like, you could see that's where he's pointing. And it was just one of those moments, man, that, you know, when it happens then, it's just a great moment. And I look at it now and, you know, I miss it. You know, I wish it could happen again. But yeah, during Waiting for the End, he's doing his singing towards the end of the song. And he looks over and he's looking at the whole crowd, and he looks over, he points at me, he like pounds his chest, he points back at me. And it's just little things, man, that make you just think and feel, you know, it's just nice that they notice that you come back to the shows and they remember you and they appreciate that you're there. Some bands you go see and they don't, you know, they're happy there's a crowd there, but I don't want to say make an effort because it sounds mean, but like they go out, they play the show, and then that's it. So for bands and for someone like Chester to take note of who's in the crowd and remember people, and I've mentioned this before, it's just the greatest feeling. You know, this was a band I've loved since, you know, July of 2000 when I first heard them on the radio. So to have this person who I never knew, you know, they weren't somebody I knew before they were a band or anything like that, but someone that I only knew because of this band and because of going to their shows, to have that morph into this thing where now they knew who I was and they knew I existed, you know, is really, really nice. And it's things I know plenty of people and plenty of kids and teens. And, you know, if you're a fan of something, to get noticed or interact with the people who create that thing, it's an amazing feeling. So to have it happen a million times during all these shows, and it just, you know, it felt really, really great. And this was one, and I never really talked about this part too much because I don't know. Once I left New York and I started going to these shows without Sal, and I miss going to shows with him, you know, going to these Linkin Park shows with him were some of the best times I've ever had, but going to some of them without him were reaffirming a little bit. Cause there were moments in the past, and granted I played with them, like they knew who I was now. So I was kind of just getting in my own head about it, but to go to shows without him and have them still remember me, I was like, okay, they weren't just remembering me because I was with the guy they actually remembered. They actually did remember me now. So to have them, you know, see me in San Diego and then say something in West Palm Beach or point me out in Tampa, it's just nice, you know? and I miss it. You know, I don't know if this band's ever going to tour again. And, you know, obviously can never see Chester again. So, you know, to have these stories and these memories of these things happening are just really nice. And that's the essence of why I'm doing this show. And, you know, A, relive these memories, B, preserve them forever. You know, these will be recorded forever now. Whether anyone ever listens to them a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the line, who knows? And who cares? Like, you know, they're mainly for me. I feel selfish to say, but these are for me, you know, just to have these recorded because details can get lost. The fact that I'm still able to pull some details out of shows 20 years ago, 15 years ago are amazing. And yet this one, which was 6 years ago, I had trouble remembering what song it was that Chester pointed at me during. So I, you know, before I get more emotional about it, I just wanted to say it's nice that Chester and bands like this do that. And you know, it makes it feel like it's a two-way street sometimes and not just a transaction of, you know, I am paying you money to watch this show and then I leave, which I get. That is what a concert is. They are not obligated to talk to you or interact with you or sign something for you. They don't have to do that. So when bands do that, it makes it even better. And it makes you realize that, you know, I don't want to say when I chose Linkin Park to be my favorite band, because I never chose. I heard them on the radio and I just fell in love. And then it just grew into more and more over the years. So the fact that the band that chose me to be my favorite band, the fact that they are so personable and interactive with their fans and appreciative just makes it even better. And I don't know, I'm forever grateful for that. And it feels weird to say this now because there's more episodes. I still have more shows to talk about with Linkin Park before we move on to the side projects and then eventually the other shows in general. But this one specifically, that moment, you know, gets in my heart and gets in my head. So, yeah, I think that's going to be it for this week. I know it got a bit heavy and emotional towards the end a little bit, but I feel like the next couple episodes might be like that just because, you know, that's where we're going to get to. Yeah, we'll get to those next week and the weeks after that. I thank you so much for listening. Next week's episode, we are going to be talking about the Linkin Park show at Summerfest we're jumping ahead here. No. Next week's episode, we're going to talk about the Hunting Party Tour in Orlando, Florida, where I am right now, where I live. Talking about Linkin Park at the Amway Center, the Hunting Party Tour in January 2015. Bunch of cool little things about that show, which we'll talk about next week because that's what the episode's about. But until then, I thank you guys so much for listening. I thank you for putting up with the more emotional episode this week. I thank you guys for coming back. So until next week, my name is Billy, and this has been my Road to Revolution.